Welcome to bedtime. Welcome to bedtime. My name is Gabriel Valdivia.
And this is Charlie Dietz.
And today we're going to talk about a very simple subject. And it requires a yes or no question, so this might be a very, very quick episode. Should you, as a young designer, create an unsolicited redesign? Yes or no? The answer, no. Next.
Gabe hates unsolicited redesigns. I do not. I think they are fun.
We have a disagreement. So, okay, convince me, Charlie, that unsolicited redesigns are anything but horrible.
Okay, when I was 15 years old and I was learning to play guitar, I downloaded tablature from the internet and played other people's songs. If I had not done that, I probably would not have grown to be proficient at playing guitar where I could write my own songs later on. I think that's the entire argument right there.
What? Okay, no, hang on. This is apples and oranges. Hang on. Let's just maybe like explain what we mean. So unsolicited redesigns is when a designer who is typically a junior designer grabs an established product.
Or a senior designer.
Yeah, you can tell what my bias is. Or whatever. A designer of whatever pedigree grabs a product, usually an established product, like, I don't know, YouTube, and redesigns it, right? And then posts it on their portfolio or blog or Dribbble, whatever it is, and shares it with the community, right? We can establish that is, those are the components of an unsolicited redesign, right?
I don't think you have to share it.
Oh, in that case, then do whatever you want with your time. I guess my point is they are creating an unsolicited redesign and posting them online to gain attention or to gain notoriety is usually a bad idea.
Okay, I'm going to like actually prove you wrong during this episode. So, okay, number one, yeah, you're probably going to make huge mistakes if you make a redesign of some product that you don't know everything that goes into it, right? Like you can't know all the circumstances. You can't know all the struggle that's going into YouTube right now from the outside view. But you can know a lot about the user experience. You can propose ideas. You can do interesting things. There's like a lot to learn from it. And I think taking on a bigger problem like that, I think maybe that's the problem that you respond to so negatively. Redesigns are generally like huge, right? It's like redesign Facebook or something, right? Like, and like, it's hard to get your head around all of the different problems in there or do a good job just because there's not this, like the scope to like figure out everything, right? So you're responding to like the naivete of like the idea of taking on a huge redesign.
Right.
But I would say there's interesting discussions that come out of redesigns. I think unsolicited redesigns. I think there's interesting learnings that can come out of unsolicited redesigns. But mainly, I think it's like people should definitely be allowed to explore their ideas. How, I mean, like if it's like, imagine you did some, like it was Gabe at 21 and you did a Facebook redesign, right? You just were like, one day you're like, I got it. I'm going to redesign Facebook. And you went out there and you put it on Dribbble and everyone laughed at you. What do you think is going to happen? Like, you're going to learn from it.
Maybe. I mean, so first of all, I was 21 at one point and I was designing and I did not choose to do an unsolicited redesign because of the following reasons. I think I think that there is some degree of naivete around a redesign like that, but there's also some degree of like pompousness, right? Is to look at a product that's in the market and say, "Hey, team of people that are working on this, I know better. I can contribute to your product, and I have enough context within what defines your product that I can." That I can improve it, right? I can redesign it, hopefully with the intent of improving it. I think in order to do that, you need an understanding of what the product is intending to do. Like, what is the intent behind the product? And without being a part of the team, that is only an assumption, right? An assumption that is fairly devoid of you know, like a strong foundation. So it often just shows your own bias. So I would actually encourage young designers or designers of any pedigree, instead of focusing on how to improve this solution to a problem, focus on the problem instead, right? What is the problem that something like YouTube is trying to solve? And if you're passionate about that problem, build a solution to that problem and name it LooTube, right? Name it whatever you want. Like, does it have to be attached to that brand? Because you don't need to, right? You can just explore that problem, and you can do so in a way that where you can learn and you can actually contribute to the larger conversation, but you don't need to attach it to the brand that you're trying to improve.
Is the thing that disturbs you like the fact that the brand gets the redesign extra attention rather than a normal exercise where someone would just be like thinking about a problem of watching videos?
I mean, yeah, the ones that I've noticed usually don't start from the problem, right? They're usually like, oh, YouTube has too many ads or too many whatever. The previews are too small. We're going to make them bigger and sexier. And that is something that is, you know, it may be true, but as an outsider, you have no understanding of why that is the case, right? And
yeah, but like the chances, like, okay, two things. One is, I think you're responding to the fact that a lot of redesigns are all about visual details, right? Like, it's like, yeah, you can make YouTube look way better, but does it like perform the same functions? Does it keep people finding the videos they want successfully, right? If the search is just an icon and not a search input, like, it may look better, but how do you know that people are going to be able to quickly search when they have the instinct to search, right? Is that what, like, you're freaking out about, like, the instincts?
Like, I'm freaking out.
You're freaking out about the visual design game?
No, I mean, I guess maybe if I'm trying to reverse engineer your argument, which is, if you're starting out and you want to explore a problem, just like an aspiring musician, you know, learns cover songs, unsolicited redesigns are a way for you to explore a field, a space, right? And it, like, kind of like have your voice in that space. And my counter argument to that would be, focus on the problem instead, not the solution. Don't focus on redesigning whatever solution is already in the market. Think about that problem and try to design a solution to that problem. And if in doing so, you can actually come up with something better that's out there in the market, then voila, you got yourself a fucking $1 billion idea. If not, then just keep copying dribble shots and keep them in your Dropbox folder and never share them in public.
To your point, like, let's say people doing redesigns happen to be more junior than senior. They can't, like, at that point in, you're like thinking, like, it may not be super easy for you to take on a big problem on your own and think about it a brand new way. That's like actually like that's asking for more failure than would be productive. Whereas if you start within the framework of a product that already exists and you think about how you could bring influence to it, that's like what a redesign is, right? It's like, here's a framework already that exists, like a product that makes sense. And I want to see if I can like screw with it in ways to make it better.
But you lack enough, you will always lack context, right? Because we're assuming that this is done from the outside, right? This hypothetical designer does not work at YouTube, right? So they lack an understanding of why the decisions were made, right? And how effective those decisions are or not. So I think
sometimes you lack context from the inside. You don't know every history of every decision on a product that you're working on.
I mean, that's true too. But we could agree that from the inside, you usually have more context than from the outside, right? So if anybody should do a redesign,
I don't think it should be from the inside. That's like saying like, oh, like you're going to fail, so don't even try.
Don't even try to do what, right? Like, I think designers should get better at what they do, right? And they should explore ways to practice their craft and actually contribute to a problem that's being solved. Those are all things people should do always, no matter how junior or senior they are. My point is that if you're going to, it's just like, don't, I think the chances of you failing by redesigning an established product are like, you know, 99%. So to me, that it has a higher chance of being counterproductive. Instead, you can do what people inside that company would do, which is think about the problem and try to address that problem.
Okay, I'm not gonna win you over from this angle because you are extremely stubborn today. So here's a totally different angle. Gabe, you are all about the connections of meeting people, right? Like you find the greatest value in the things you do because you're going to learn about people and have conversations with them, which will allow you and them to both like gain from it, right? That's like something that's really important to you.
You've done it. We agree.
Okay. So for example, I took a stab at a redesign maybe a year and a half ago for the game Destiny. I wanted to redesign the mobile app. And I knew going into it that I didn't understand all the problems. But I wanted to like try to surface some stuff that I thought was interesting to me and would make sense in the app. I did this. I published it on Medium. And through a series of events, actually, one of the designers from Bungie reached out to me and said, hey, like we saw it, thought it was pretty neat. And later on, I met that person and we became friends. So there you go. That's why you should do it.
Well, so first of all, I think that is a lovely story and I'm very happy that you made a new friend.
From a redesign.
That's great. That's lovely. But to say that you need that the value of making unsolicited redesigns is to make friends with the people that work in
the product.
It
doesn't have to be another person who like actually works on the product. It could be like starting a discussion, right? So if I do the YouTube redesign and post it on Dribbble, someone might come to me and be like, this was terrible, but you did a couple things in there that were kind of interesting, and maybe you might start conversations around it. There's no reason not to do that. Like, I just don't, I can't, like, your view on this is, like, completely bizarre to me.
I mean, that's a fair point. I would tone down my stubbornness to that point. Although I would say that a better conversation would spawn from the discussion around a problem, not a redesign of a product, of a solution, right? So,
that's great. I actually think that a better conversation would come out of that, but you're going to get more attention for the redesign, right? If I say like, I'm thinking about this app that has to do with people leaving 144 character messages to each other, right? Like people are going to be like, cool, whatever. I don't care about that, right? But if you're like, I did a Twitter redesign, people are going to be like, let me look at it because they're familiar with it. It's like, it's pop. It's like soda. It's like people want to, they're going to be more attracted to it. There's going to be more attention around it. And people have like a common set of understanding that they're going to start with going into it.
Okay, I guess this is why you love Lady Gaga and I hate it.
I mean, she is a genius.
Okay, so if you must do unsolicited redesigns, what are some traits that you see on the best redesigns that you've seen on the internet?
I don't know, they're all pretty bad. I don't know, I mean, like, I'm trying to think of a unsolicited redesign that like blew me away.
I literally like cannot think of one, but I can give you three tips for unsolicited redesigns. Tip number one, don't do them. Tip number two, focus on more than the visuals. Focus on the problem and address that problem beyond the visuals. And
I agree with that one.
Okay. Tip number three, explain your process. Make the piece about the process, not about the pretty pixels that you were able to come up with. Because I guarantee you, every designer in that company has made an even prettier design that you have, but they haven't made it through because of a real reason. So the actual thing that's important or that's valuable is how you landed in that solution.
Here you go. Do a redesign, but don't change the visual design at all. Like, redesign something in the complete style that it already exists and you'll learn 10 times as much, right? Like if you redesign YouTube, but I'm not changing the buttons, I'm not changing the styling of the site, but I'm thinking about like how I use the site. And I think like the solutions that you've come up with would be significantly more interesting. Do you agree with that?
I'm into that 100%.
Okay, we came to we were very far apart, but
we're closer now. Okay, so neither of us can think of an even half decent unsolicited redesign, but if you, audience member, have a suggestion of a unsolicited redesign that really blew you away, let us know. We have a Twitter account, it's @BrettTimeFM. We have a website, BrettTime.fm, or just DM us your email and we'll add you to our Slack channel and we'll have a threaded, unbounded conversation about whatever topic you want.
I like, there's one out there. I can remember it. I just don't know what it was.